This is episode 2 in our podcast series on informal English language learning for newcomers. The series supports the BC Settlement and Integration Services, or BCSIS, program. This episode is employment-related supports in English language programming. We gratefully acknowledge the financial support of the Province of British Columbia through the Ministry of Jobs, Economic Development, and Competitiveness. We acknowledge that the land AMHSA works from is on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I'm Laurie Cameron, AMHSA Provincial Integration Program Manager. My work supports the BCSIS program. I'd like to start with some background on our topic today. For newcomers, English language skills are an important factor in settlement and integration. They increase newcomers' ability to participate fully in BC society. English language skills can reduce isolation. They contribute to community connections and to a sense of belonging. At the same time, they build confidence and independence. English skills are needed to find and retain viable employment and for workplace communication, expectations, and safety. These thoughts reflect the objectives of the BCSIS program. It's why English language training is such an important service. Some newcomers, like those with temporary immigration status, are not eligible for the LINC program. That's the Language Instruction for Newcomers to Canada program. It's for permanent residents or protected persons, and they can take LINC language classes at no cost. Newcomers who are not eligible for LINC still need language training for all the reasons just mentioned. And that's where informal language training comes in. When you think about it, the flexibility of informal English training programs can be ideal for newcomers who are experiencing change and uncertainty. There's a lot of benefit from classes that are not as structured as LINC, yet still help to meet their needs. Most BCSIS service providers offer informal language training like conversation groups and tutoring for English practice. And while this work is done by the organizations themselves, it's great for service providers to hear about external programs for client referrals. In this challenging year for employment, I'm thinking of specialized informal language learning for employment-related purposes. And along with that, why not share some fantastic job resources that can be accessed by anyone, anywhere across the province? That's what this podcast is all about. Today, we'll be talking with guests from two organizations that offer specialized employment supports in language programming. They'll tell you about the ways their programs support job readiness, knowledge of workplace culture, rights and safety, and ultimately, help with job retention. Our first two guests are with the BC Federation of Labour Health and Safety Centre. They are Gord Lechner, the director, and Emily Hunter. Emily's an instructor with the English as an Additional Language program. Our third guest is Mark McKeegan, who is the coordinator of the Skilled Immigrant Info Centre at Vancouver Public Library. Their programs are examples of the remarkable work being done out there and that you and your clients can benefit from. They're ready to share with you, so let's get started. Gord Lechner is the director of the BC Fed Health and Safety Center. It's the largest provider of Occupational Health and Safety Committee, Supervisor, and Young and New Worker Education in BC. New workers include newcomers to Canada. The center cares deeply about providing the knowledge that keeps all workers safe on the job, including the most vulnerable. Gord, could you start off by telling our listeners some history and background about the BC Fed Health and Safety Center?
Sure, and thank you for the opportunity to partake and share some information about this today. So the BC Fed Health and Safety Center, we're entering in next year, 2021, our 20th year of existence. So we've been around for 20 years. We're funded by WorkSafe BC, sometimes called WCB as well, on an operating grant, but administered and delivered by the BC Federation of Labour. So it started 20 years ago, and really what we, our mandate is to try to identify where workers have barriers to accessing health and safety education and information and try to overcome those barriers. So in all our different programming, we would take a look and trying to make sure that age, geography, cost, and literacy are not barriers to accessing education, and we try to develop programs to get around those barriers.
And Gord, how does the program operate in normal times? And I guess, how has that changed during the coronavirus?
We've got a number of different programs that we deliver to help health and safety committee members, supervisors, other workplace parties develop their skills of addressing health and safety issues. We've got programs for building psychologically healthy workplaces, bullying and harassment, mental health, first aid, and then a number of community outreach programs for high schools, employment programs, and newcomers to Canada as well. Traditionally in the past, all of our programming has been done through an adult-oriented peer-to-peer model and face-to-face, which was really the hallmark of our success, I think, over the years. But COVID brought a different barrier and challenge to us all. And so we've needed to take our programming and approach to that, try to keep as much good stuff as possible, but then pivot to a format that would obviously keep facilitators and participants safe. So in all our different programming, we're moving to some online delivery. And I would expect even after COVID's gone, I think what we've learned through this time, because it is another avenue or ability to overcome barriers, will probably almost guaranteed continue with some online format. So what we've all been challenged in doing right now will continue. It's not perfect. You know, there's always a little, when you have a barrier of a computer screen and people not being physically together, some of those questions and answers and group dynamics that really make an adult learning environment sparkle, shall we say. We got to work extra hard on to try to make that happen in an online environment. So for our EAL program, we've just started actually with Emily, who will be coming up next, delivering that online. And it's in so far been a great success.
That's wonderful to hear. So that really opens up then the opportunities for individuals from all across the province to participate.
Correct. Although the program itself has been around for 13, 14 years now, and literally thousands, very unique in Canada, and the fact that this is being offered in British Columbia, there's really no exact comparison anywhere else. So we're kind of proud of that. It's just really important to make sure that we can continue with this and keep it going.
That's great. Thank you, Gord. Well, that's the perfect lead-in to our conversation with Emily. So I'm just going to switch gears here and welcome Emily Hunter to join us. Thank you, Gord. Emily's an instructor with the English as an Additional Language program. She is an EAL educator and curriculum developer. Emily specializes in working with vulnerable adults and connecting them to services that will support their settlement in Canada. She's also a researcher, writer, and editor. Emily, it's really nice to meet you, and I'm really fascinated about how the English as an Additional Language program teaches workplace health and safety using that ESL curriculum model. Maybe you could tell our listeners more about the ESL model and the content of the training modules.
Yes, of course. So I guess we could talk in normal times. We had a curriculum which began, it was 12 weeks, and people would meet in class twice a week for 2 hours. And we would look at a variety of topics together around the theme of worker health and safety. So we would look at the four rights of workers, the rights and responsibilities of workers, hazards in the workplace, PPE, WMIS, you know, knowing how to use chemical safety at work, first aid, ergonomics, violence. And we would also look at employment standards, which is not strictly workplace health and safety, but we felt it was a wonderful opportunity to make sure that the students in our class knew the law around employment in British Columbia. So this was the topic. And then obviously it has been simplified for students who have English as another language. And the English learning is embedded in the curriculum. So There's a lot of focus on vocabulary. I really focus on speaking and listening skills, although there is some reading and writing. I always emphasize, sometimes I have students come and they say, Emily, we're not doing grammar for an hour. And I say, no, because there's so much that we need to learn together. But I feel that the most important thing that I can do in the short time I have with people is to try and increase the confidence, the speaking confidence of the students in my class, so that they can speak up at work about if they see something that's a danger.
And so how does that work for lower level English language learners? How do they participate in the program?
So we said originally, I think for the in-person class, that it was about CLB 3-4 would be good. And I've had up to fluent English speakers because the material is very interesting. It engages people who even have a very, high fluency in English. So with the lower level, what I tend to do is to identify people in the class who are stronger in English. And we do a lot of small group work. I don't want to hear myself talking too much. So I understand that it's very difficult to speak in front of the group, especially when English isn't your first language. So I want to build people's confidence up slowly. So a lot of small group work. And then often the lower learners have more of an opportunity to practice speaking, to ask questions. I go around the room and I can identify pretty quickly who are the lower students. And, you know, my job as the teacher is just to create a very safe, fun learning environment and where people feel very comfortable coming up to me and saying, you know, I don't understand this. And I have had a few cases where people have had no English. They've come with a friend or a partner who has translated quietly during the class because it's so important that they have the information. So while that isn't a perfect solution, I'm very open to that too.
So with the online delivery, what levels do you need? What English language level do you need to have in order to participate effectively in the class? Because that's certainly different than doing an in-person class.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has to be higher. So I would say a CLB 5 would be a minimum, perhaps a CLB 4 if somebody wanted to check it out. But as you say, because the support isn't there, unfortunately, the one-on-one support, I think a CLB 5 would be a good level. And what I have seen is that often a lower English level does correspond with a lower digital literacy learning level. So obviously if you're online, that's more difficult too.
Sure. Well, and speaking of digital literacy, what techniques do you find helpful when your participants do struggle with either technology or with knowledge of how to use that technology?
Right. Yeah. So with Zoom, thankfully it's a pretty straightforward platform and that's what we're using. So for the first two classes, I just made sure that I probably spent 20 to 25 minutes on a Zoom orientation, you know, very simple, just taking people through what all the features, you know, this is the chat, this is the microphone, this is, I mean, what I needed to do when I started on Zoom, you know, not so long ago. And you know, the things that I've learned, like it can help to turn off your video sometimes if your connection isn't very strong. That can help with audio. If you get booted off, it's okay. Just try and rejoin again, you know. I'm very lucky in the online class because I have Byron Cruz, who is the coordinator of the migrant worker program at the BC Fed, who is in the class with me. So he's a wonderful support. So if that happens, if somebody got booted off, they have our contact information so they could contact Byron and help them. But I think in a way it's the same lesson as in person in the sense that, you know, it can be very embarrassing. I know this myself personally, I've been on many meetings in Zoom and your internet isn't connecting for whatever reason or you keep getting booted off. So you just want to create an environment where you say, look, we're all in this together. This is new for all of us. Don't worry if that happens, just try and join again, you know? And that's the best we can do, really.
Yeah, but you know, really, there's another benefit with that approach, with first of all the online service delivery, but also with your approach to helping people and guiding people with that, and that is that they're building technical capacity, which will help them in so many other areas going forward too, really. So I guess the question is, how do you create an experience that feels live even though it's online?
Yeah, so I think, you know, trying to replicate as much as I can of the in-person online. So, you know, spending a lot of time in the first two sessions on introductions, perhaps like in the large group, but then I use the breakout rooms a lot and I use them at least twice every class and give about 15 to 20 minutes so that people have a chance to quote unquote meet the other students in the class. And it's much easier to speak when you're in a group of four or five than in front of, I have 26 in the online class right now. Like, it's very, very full. So I think breakout rooms are essential. I also use chat a lot and I like chat because some people do find it difficult to speak in front of other people, very shy at the beginning. So I say, it's okay, just write your question, you have a comment, write it on the chat. And again, I've got Byron fantastically, or myself, I'm trying to keep an eye on the chat too, so that we, if we see a question, we stop and we address it, you know? We try and make it as interactive as possible. And I am using PowerPoints, so I'll stop after a slide and just say, are there any questions, you know, please? So I encourage that throughout the lesson, and I think that helps to make it.
So that's the PowerPoint presentation is one resource. What other resources do you use to help teach the program?
So something that I've used quite a bit in the past, but now I'm relying very heavily on, is it's a workbook that was created in partnership with the Health and Safety Center, in partnership with Dakota Literacy Solutions, created this workbook called the Health and Safety at Work workbook. And it focused around five subjects to do with health and safety in the workplace. And again, the English learning is very much embedded in the curriculum. So there are readings, and then there's vocabulary, and there's sometimes word search. There's some role-playing scenarios. So the online class is different in that we meet once a week for 10 weeks, and it's a 2-hour class. So it's about half the time I had for the other in person. So I'm not able to look at everything in the workbook, but before the class began, I sent it to everybody and I encouraged them to read it before our lesson and to work on the activities by themselves. So it's really supporting our learning, I would say. And then I'm drawing, you know, I'm using parts of it in the lesson.
It's really remarkable, Emily, to think of the reach of the program, you know, geographically, and to think that newcomers anywhere within BC can benefit from the training because the classes are online now. I'm curious to know if you've found that online delivery has resulted in greater inclusivity for any other client groups, you know, other than the geographic factor.
Absolutely. And that's exciting to me because something that I have seen over the last 7 years is that often women can't attend my classes because childcare is an issue. And that isn't an issue anymore. You know, they can put their they can put their microphone on mute. And, you know, you have little ones running around in the background, but they're still able to sit there and listen and participate as they can. So we're able to reach women who aren't able to leave the home for these set times that our classes were. And I also, another thing that's happened in this class, which I'm very happy about, is that a number of students have said, is it okay if my teenage or young adult daughter or son joins, you know, because actually they've been listening to the classes, but they're not an official student. But is it okay if they join the class and then they sit beside their parent and they're listening? And I'm very excited by that because we know that young workers, like new workers, are the most at risk of injury. in the workplace. So I think if we can reach them, it's wonderful. And often they can support their parents as well, you know, with the English language learning and the technology too.
That's great to hear. So, you know, I'm wondering about what techniques you use to create the feeling of human connections, which is something that's really important in any class, but also to build community and create connections with one another that are perhaps sustainable after the course is finished. And all of that ultimately helps reduce isolation. So are there any particular techniques that you've found work really well for that purpose?
So it's interesting because what I found over the years with the in-person class is that with a few exceptions, almost every class becomes a very tight community. And I think that's due in part to there's so much small group work, and I vary it so that you're not always meeting with the same people. I make sure that people have a chance to speak to everybody in the group. So people start to share quite deeply with each other about, you know, experiences they've had in the workplace, or perhaps sharing difficulties that they're having in settling in Canada. And, you know, they quickly identify people in the class who can be a support or a resource for them. I've seen that happen. You know, it's quite recent in a way that we started to use WhatsApp, I would say, in the last couple of years. Before that, I would say, you know, if you're comfortable, you could, I can send around a piece of paper, really low tech, and you can write your name and phone number, you know, and I can share this with the class so that people could contact each other. And everybody took part in that. They felt comfortable. But in the last couple of years, what we did was create WhatsApp groups. And again, of course, if the students want to take part. And I was added to those WhatsApp groups, and I can tell you that many of them are still going strong. I can see the comments being added. So I think WhatsApp is a very powerful way, actually, of keeping the community going. It's interesting. And sharing information. Like, I'll see people are saying, oh, there are jobs, they're hiring here, you know, or there's a job fair, or or just checking in with each other. I think that works very well.
Great. Well, it seems that there's, you know, there's a particular curriculum for this program, clearly, but there's also a lot of flexibility within that, it seems to me, in order to be able to provide the right information, you know, in a timely way. And that can be information about COVID-19. It can be just the way that you're able to respond to individual students. I'm curious to know how you evaluate the success of the program, considering that there is that flexibility and the versatility within the program. So how do you evaluate the success of the program?
So with the in-person, what we did was we handed out a survey at the beginning of the class and then the exact same survey at the end. And the idea was that the first half really focused on the knowledge of the student, you know, and then the second half was about empowerment, like worker empowerment. And then from that we could measure if it improved or increased. And then I created my own evaluation form, which was more for me as the facilitator, you know, just which were your favorite topics, why, do you feel confident to speak up about a dangerous situation in the workplace, why or why not? And it's all anonymous, obviously. Would you recommend this program to your friends, why or why not? And for a long time, I had a few students who were saying to me, they were so sad to leave because 12 weeks is quite a long time and you become a part of each other's lives for that time. And they said, oh, is there a part two? And then because there was a lot of desire for this, we actually did create a part two, which was just once a week for 8 weeks, kind of going deeper into the material that we've looked at. And so that was obviously a measure of the success too. So that became another question. Would you be interested in a part two if there was one? And generally, you know, the feedback from the course has been very, very good. I hear a lot from students, I wish I'd taken this course when I first arrived in Canada. You know, they'd gone through many unfortunate situations in place and they had no idea that they had rights, that there were laws that protected them. And so, I'd say that's, and online, the way that I'm evaluating success, and I'm going into week four, so it's still quite early days. We have 10 weeks. But something that I like to do is at the end of the class, just to say, again, can you write on the chat, how are you feeling? Or what did you write, one thing that you learned today? You know, just to try and have a sense like of how it's going for people. It's very difficult to get that sense online, I find. I can't see everybody, and especially when I'm sharing a presentation. So you really trust that people will share if something isn't working for them.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about the program? Anything else that you'd like to share?
Yes. One of the things that I'm the most proud about with this program is that it is open to absolutely everybody. And because I've worked in community-based English classes now for 7-8 years, for many different organizations, I can see that that is completely unique. In many or most programs, you have to fit a certain requirement. You need to be PR, or you need to be a citizen, or you need to be this or that. And I just want to say to people that we don't check your status. We don't care about your status. We just want to make sure that you get the information that you need to be safe in the workplace. Everybody is welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing all those details of the EAL program. And Gord, is there anything that you would like to add on at this point?
A big benefit is the fact that there's no charge to this workshop whatsoever as well. So that's a big draw. Now, in the past, and we still do sometimes ask when we do our registration process for in-person or online, and this will be under further review in the future, but we have asked for a deposit, a $50 deposit, but that is immediately refunded. After that participant takes a number of the first courses, it's really just in place so that we don't have an overwhelming number of people of registering and then not showing up. So it's to have a little commitment to it. But if for some reason somebody registers and they find that it's beyond their literacy level or not what they expected, we'll also refund the money as well. We just had a couple of issues where we had a lot of registrations, did a lot of organizing, and then people didn't quite show up the way we thought. So we've been doing that for a while, but overall the program is no charge and free.
Fantastic. Gord, how can our listeners find out more about the BC Fed health and safety programs?
Best would be to go to our website, which is healthandsafetybc.ca. You can do a Google search if you go BC Fed, BCFED, health and safety. And from there, you can find information on our drop-down menu about our EAL program, or you can send an email or phone us as well. There'll be contact information on that website to find out more information.
Perfect. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Gord and Emily, for sharing that information. It's been wonderful speaking with you both. I'm going to shift gears here and introduce our next guest. Mark McKeegan is the coordinator of Vancouver Public Library's Skilled Immigrant Info Center. It's an online and in-person resource hub that helps newcomers to Canada explore careers, find a job, or start a business. As a librarian, Mark loves to discover and share information with others. He's passionate about building vibrant community relationships. This includes connecting newcomers with resources and supports that can put them on the path to meaningful employment in Canada. Mark, I imagine that many of our listeners have different ideas about what a library can offer. And I'm intrigued about the role of the library that's far beyond the traditional image. For example, supporting career exploration, job search, and learning English. Could you give us some background about that and about the Skilled Immigrant Center?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to start, obviously, by thanking you for having me as a guest. The library truly is a surprising place. You know, it's a place where someone can go to meet so many diverse needs. It's a place that offers family programming. It's a place that offers popular reading materials. It's a place where people can go to practice English, and certainly it is a place where people can go to access information about how to find employment. So the Skilled Immigrant Info Center is part of the Vancouver Public Library, and we specialize in providing newcomers to Canada with information about exploring careers, finding a job, and starting a business. We're funded by Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada, as well as Welcome BC. And we provide service in so many different ways. For example, our friendly and knowledgeable information staff provide one-to-one help to answer people's job search and small business questions. No appointment needed. We find that we get many different kinds of questions, from the very narrow to the very broad. You know, so for example, one patron might want to know about how to get accredited to work in a particular regulated profession here in BC. While the next patron might not have any idea really of what kind of job they're looking for, they just know that they want a job and they want to explore their options. So yeah, our staff are happy to provide information about whatever job search or small business topics people might be curious about. And certainly anyone who's interested in receiving help is welcome to visit us in person at Central Library in downtown Vancouver. That's the really awesome building that looks like the Coliseum at 350 West Georgia Street. And alternatively, we also provide one-on-one help remotely. So we welcome people to email us at siic@vpl.ca or to call us at 604-331-3603. We also offer lots of great workshops and events and information resources, which, you know, certainly I have no doubt we'll have a chance to talk about at length today.
Exactly. Thank you for that good background information. You know, Mark, there's newcomers to Canada from many different immigration groups, including those with temporary status, for example, temporary foreign workers, international students. Are services at VPL limited to a particular immigration status like permanent residence, or can anybody access them?
Yeah, great question. And it's a question that we get a lot. The library at large helps people from a variety of different immigration statuses. And that's true of the Skilled Immigrant Info Center as well. You know, I'm really proud to say that we're able to help people of all immigration statuses, permanent residents, citizens, refugees, refugee claimants, work visas, student visas, and people going through the provincial nominee program. And yeah, we certainly do help quite a lot of international students, including those who will soon be finishing their studies and they'll be obtaining a postgraduate work permit. And they come to us with questions about how to find their first job after graduation. I will say there are two small exceptions. So among our many awesome workshops, we offer a writing a business plan workshop and a how to use LinkedIn workshop. And currently our funding only enables us to open these two particular workshops to permanent residents, as well as convention refugees and sponsored refugees. But all other workshops and services are available to people of all immigration statuses.
That's really helpful for BC CIS service providers to know. So is there any charge for the services?
Nope, all of our services are entirely free.
Great. And is a VPL card required?
No, actually, a library card is not a requirement to access the Skilled Immigrant Info Center and our services. You know, that said, we always love it when people do sign up for a library card. And certainly a library card is an awesome gateway to so many really great resources out there that can help people with finding a job, learning English, and numerous other things. So anyone who is interested in finding out how to sign up for a free library card, can visit www.vpl.ca/librarycard to find out more.
Great, thank you. Well, let's talk a bit about the employment-related programs that are open to all immigration statuses, as you mentioned. I think that that would include the career and job search-related programs, the Career Explorer. Could you tell us a bit more about those?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So through the Skilled Immigrant Info Center, Vancouver Public Library offers so many excellent employment and self-employment workshops and events for people of all immigration statuses, all of which are free and all of which are currently taking place on Zoom. So anyone who wishes to learn more about these workshops and events and to register for them can visit www.vpl.ca/events to do so. So first, we offer our weekly career and job search tour, which takes place every Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. on Zoom. This is a great workshop. It introduces participants to so many different strategies and resources that can help people explore careers and find a job. And we cover a variety of topics. Generally, we customize these workshops to the needs of people who are in attendance that day. But generally, we speak to topics such as resumes and job interviews and networking and more. We offer a Career Explorer workshop one Friday a month. This workshop is like a career and job search tour, but I like to say it's just bigger and better. It's an intense one. It's a half day workshop, you know, so there's so much great information involved. It provides a wonderful amount of information about career exploration and various other topics related to finding employment. We offer small business tours on occasional Saturdays. This workshop introduces participants to various free resources that can help them start a business, covering topics like, you know, ideation, market research, financing, and more. On top of that, we also offer several networking events a year, and these are among the absolute favorite services that we provide for me. So we offer these networking events in collaboration with our community partners. These events give participants the opportunity to learn about networking and the job market, while also creating valuable connections and practicing networking skills with others. So recently we've had opportunities to hold networking events with great organizations like WorkBC and Mosaic and ISS of BC. And they're always really vibrant and a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Have you been actually able to hold any hiring events during the pandemic?
We haven't held any formal hiring events during the pandemic, but we have held events featuring employers that are talking about their organizations and talking about what job seekers can do to improve their chances of finding the meaningful employment they're looking for.
Mark, tell our listeners about the amazing resources that are available online. I'm thinking about the employment guides and the industry profiles.
So the Skilled Immigrant Info Center website, which is www.vpl.ca/SIIC, contains so many amazing online resources to support job seekers. These resources are all free and available to anyone, no library card required. Among these resources are our employment guides. We have more than 150 employment guides for so many different professions, from administrative assistant to pharmacist to welder and more. These employment guides bring together information that people exploring careers and looking for a job really do need to know. I'm thinking about job descriptions, hiring outlook, educational requirements, salary information, you know, places to find online job postings, professional associations, and more. They're an excellent resource. Additionally, as you say, we also offer really comprehensive industry profiles. These industry profiles give an overview of the fastest growing and, you know, just other really popular industries in British Columbia, such as tech and the green economy, healthcare, and more. These industry profiles are a really great way for individuals to learn about different industries, you know, the various sectors that make up these industries, and certainly also the most in-demand careers within these industries. And these guides, yeah, are tailored to meet the individual needs of newcomers. They're created by library staff and they focus specifically on the BC labor market.
Fantastic. What an incredible resource for job seekers and for those that are helping newcomers in employment services. Everybody can learn so much from those and from the incredible work that's gone into creating them. Mark, how does the library support newcomers in exploring ways to use their transferable skills through alternative careers and maybe looking at different industries that are growing at a fast pace?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's so true. Really, there are a lot of professions out there that do have a high barrier to entry, especially for newcomers to Canada. Some professions, which are called regulated professions, require one to have graduated with a, you know, very specific degree from a set number of educational institutions, often just in Canada or the United States, you know, in order to work within one of these professions in BC. So if someone received their education from another country, then they will probably need to undergo a lengthy process, consisting potentially of additional coursework, exams, et cetera, in order to obtain local accreditation. And so, you know, regulated professions include physician and lawyer and engineer, just to name a few. So when newcomers who have international training in one of these professions are looking for their first career in Canada, you know, it might be advantageous for them to broaden their search to other related professions, alternative careers, as you say. So for example, though someone with international education as a professional engineer might not be able to start working right away in this profession in BC, there are other lower barrier jobs out there that will make use of their transferable skills, either temporarily while they're working toward accreditation or as an alternative to accreditation. So, you know, sticking with that engineer example, other related careers could include, you know, for example, engineering inspector or engineering regulatory officer, being a technical sales specialist within the engineering field and more. So yeah, I definitely do encourage folks to check out our alternative career guides on the Skilled Immigrant Info Center website. They do a great job of listing various alternative careers for these high barrier or regulated professions.
Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us specifically about the Skilled Immigrant Info Center programs?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to also mention that we have lots of other job search web resources on our website. So again, on the Skilled Immigrant Info Center website, www.vpl.ca/SIIC, you can find lots of other resources covering other common topics related to job search, such as, you know, writing resumes and cover letters, looking for a job as an older worker, looking for a job as a younger worker, networking for employment, and online social networks, and so many more. Really, these resources can benefit just about any and all job seekers and cover the topics that we get asked about most frequently.
And what topics do you find that you get asked about a lot?
Honestly, I would say one of the biggest topics is networking for employment. You know, they say about 70% of the jobs out there don't get advertised. You know, they don't get publicized on websites like Indeed. Instead, it's really about who you know in order to get these jobs. They call this the hidden job market. And so in order to access these unadvertised jobs within the hidden job market, folks do need to develop their networking skills, which can be quite challenging for a lot of people. And so, yeah, we get asked about this quite a bit, and we do provide lots of really great resources and events to help people make those connections that can help them find the job that they're looking for.
Great, thank you. Well, let's pivot a little bit here and talk about the informal English language learning programs that are offered through the library. Mark, can you tell our listeners about the ELL tools and supports that help develop those conversation skills, listening, reading, writing, and even English for Business?
Yeah, absolutely. Vancouver Public Library offers so many excellent resources to help people develop their English language skills. So first things first, VPL provides a really fantastic and comprehensive digital library, which contains resources that, for the most part, require a library card to access. VPL subscribes to these digital resources, which allows cardholders to access them for free, even from home. You know, a couple examples off the top of my head. One of these digital resources is Clarity English, which consists of so many practical interactive activities, practice tests, and grammar resources to help individuals improve their English language skills. Clarity English is a great way to practice English and also to prepare for common English language tests like IELTS or TOEFL. Another one of these digital resources is Mango Languages. Mango offers more than 70 self-paced language learning courses, and these can be taken in a variety of languages. And Mango is really great for someone wishing to learn English in their first language, or even for anyone who wants to learn other world languages as well. So yeah, I certainly do encourage folks to check out Clarity English and Mango Languages. They're just excellent informal language learning tools available through VPL's digital library that can help people practice English in a comfortable self-paced format. I should also mention the library offers a fantastic ESL and literacy resources information guide on the Vancouver Public Library website, which is created and maintained by library staff. So this guide provides a fantastic overview of valuable resources for learning English, both at the library and in the greater community. including testing resources, books for English language learners, our English language learning kits, ESL schools, and more.
It would be great to learn more about the conversation circles. I understand that there are conversation circles that usually take place in person, but now they're being delivered online. And I'm curious to know about how they work and how that is working, the online delivery.
Yeah, so Vancouver Public Library has provided in-person English conversation circles for many years. So these circles are informal gatherings where individuals learning English and who have around an intermediate level proficiency can come together and meet other English language learners. You know, they can make friends and practice conversational English in a friendly and supportive environment. And so as you say, VPL has started offering these circles on Zoom, which has been really exciting. They're offered under the name ESL Conversation Practice Online. Which means that attendees can practice conversational English with others from the comfort of their own home using Zoom. And so far, we found that these programs have been doing really well. They've actually been extremely popular. Registration tends to fill up very quickly, which I think speaks to the fact that the library truly is filling an important need with these programs. And on top of that, I'm excited to say that VPL has even recently launched a new teen ESL conversation circle, specifically for teens aged 13 to 18, which enables them to come together with their peers and practice conversational English together. So that's really cool to see.
Very cool. Can you describe how you help learners with digital literacy capacity? There must be a lot of benefit for participants in the program in learning and adapting to those skills.
Yeah, absolutely. The library has long been the place to go for community members who are interested in learning new digital skills. From the basics of using a mouse and keyboard, to accessing websites and email and VPL ebooks, to even more advanced topics like web design and audio editing. So with so many organizations and services out there shifting their service delivery to virtual platforms during the pandemic, the need to support community members with their digital literacy skills has really increased. So our friendly and knowledgeable information staff at Vancouver Public Library, they regularly answer digital literacy questions and provide excellent one-on-one help with digital technology, both in person and remotely. And certainly also the library has started delivering virtual workshops about how to use Zoom. And also I would say that the library offers really great digital library resources to help people develop their digital literacy skills. The library provides access to lynda.com for VPL cardholders. And it's a really great way to take so many different online courses about various digital skills that can help people in their day-to-day life and can also help them develop those digital skills that can make them competitive in today's labor market.
I'm curious to know, Mark, what inspires you the most about your work with the VPL Skilled Immigrant Info Center?
Honestly, I just want to say that I am so proud and so grateful to be working for an organization like VPL that really does such a cool job of supporting the needs of newcomers to Canada. It's inspiring and it's rewarding to be able to help people settle into life in Canada and to feel at home here. So whenever I discover that something I did helped someone move closer toward the life in Canada that they've been dreaming of, I honestly cannot tell you how happy that makes me feel. It's why I got into this line of work and I feel really lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
That's great. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us about either the employment resources and programming or the English as an additional language programs?
Yeah, I guess I just want to leave people with the message that library staff are here to help you. So we offer so many cool services related to finding a job, learning English, and various other topics. And it might be even kind of overwhelming some of the time to sift through all of the different services the library provides. So I certainly do encourage community members to talk to library staff, either in person or remotely by phone or email, and just ask about the services that are available to them. you know, library staff love to talk about the library. So they are happy to answer your questions and they're happy to recommend the right services for you. So yes, my recommendation for folks is talk to staff, ask them questions, give them the opportunity to brag about the cool things the library is doing. You will make their day. I highly recommend it.
That's great. And just one last thought. So there's no geographic barriers to worry about at this point. The services can be accessed really by anyone, anywhere across the province.
Yes, certainly. So to use the Skilled Immigrant Info Center to talk to our staff and attend our Zoom workshops and programs, you can live anywhere in British Columbia. What I will say is I also encourage you, in addition to accessing Skilled Immigrant Info Center services, is to check in with your local public library. You know, if you aren't living in and around Metro Vancouver, you know, your local public library will be a really great gateway to so many additional resources. So I highly recommend folks around the province to touch base with their local public library, but certainly yes, they are welcome to reach out to the Skilled Immigrant Info Center and we'll be happy to help them.
That's great. Thank you, Mark. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I really appreciate all of the information that you've shared. It's going to be really valuable to BCCIS service providers from right around the province. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie. I really appreciate you inviting me to take part in this today. It was a lot of fun.
Pleasure. Thank you to all of our speakers. I really enjoyed listening to you describe these remarkable programs. They provide specialized English language learning supports for job readiness and safety. As Gordon Emily explained, the BC Fed Health and Safety Center EAL course uses an ESL curriculum model. It equips newcomers with knowledge of their rights, responsibilities, and health and safety in the workplace. Newcomers often work in risky, unprotected situations, and this program really empowers them. The program accomplishes even more than that. It reduces isolation by building connections and a community of learners. While there is a particular curriculum, there is flexibility within that. Training is responsive to the needs of the class and the individuals. For example, they respond to many questions about COVID-19, which is essential right now. Learners follow a workbook that becomes an ongoing takeaway resource for the future. And remember, the program is open to learners from all immigration groups, regardless of their status. The online format develops digital literacy skills. With online delivery, newcomers anywhere in BC can now benefit from the free classes. This is a good referral opportunity for BCCIS service providers. Learners walk away with knowledge that helps them stay safe. It's one of the most valuable ways you can support and equip newcomers. Be sure to visit the BC Fed Health and Safety Center website at healthandsafetybc.ca for more information. Mark McKeekin explained the library as a valuable resource for career exploration, job search, and for learning English. He introduced us to the Vancouver Public Library Skilled Immigrant Info Center. They offer employment-related supports that are open to all newcomers, regardless of immigration status. We heard about workshops, networking events, and job events, which are now online. We learned about a vast number of resources that include over 150 job-specific employment guides, industry profiles, and ways newcomers can use their transferable skills. Anyone in BC can access digital resources that help newcomers find and retain employment. They cover topics like job search preparation, understanding workplace culture, and safeguarding against scams and exploitation. Mark explained how the library offers a wealth of programming and resources that help newcomers develop English conversational skills, listening, reading, and writing. They have online resources available. They facilitate conversation circles, which are now online, that are themed and can focus on topics related to the workplace. They support learners with development of digital literacy. I encourage all listeners to explore the VPL website and specifically the Skilled Immigrant Info Center. You'll be amazed at how helpful it can be for you and your clients. Both of the informal English language learning programs we heard about today demonstrate the power of flexible learning and the energy that comes when you're not constrained by a fixed training plan. Each uses a flexible approach to learning. It's effective and adapts to learners' unique needs. They accommodate multiple levels of learners. They're responsive to current circumstances and to emerging needs, and that's critical in times of constant change. They've adapted to new technology and online delivery methods and help participants develop their own digital literacy skills. Newcomers from all around the province can benefit through the use of technology. That's quite an achievement. These programs combine language learning with a sense of community that reduces isolation, and that helps build a sense of belonging. Each program uses active learning that helps students build confidence and self-reliance. These are programs and resources that can be helpful to anybody, anywhere. I hope our listeners will explore the programs that were shared today. I hope they've sparked some new ways of thinking. And that's very much the point of this podcast. Thanks for listening in today. The podcast is hosted by me, Laurie Cameron. The series is produced by AMHSA. Our technical specialist is Con Araslin. Thanks to our guests, Gord Lechner, Emily Hunter, and Mark McKeegan. We gratefully acknowledge the financial support of the Province of British Columbia through the Ministry of Jobs, Economic Development, and Competitiveness. Be sure to look for the show notes for this podcast on the AMHSA website. And if you enjoyed this podcast, stay tuned for others in the series. For more AMHSA resources, visit AMHSA.org. This podcast is a wrap. Thanks for listening.